are you doing?
Hello.
From deep cuts to future classics.
On location and behind the scenes.
Somewhere between reasonable and crazy.
It was no more complicated than that.
Let's skip intro and find out what to watch on Netflix.
Coming up.
If you're saying this is about me, I'm showing you what I go through, then you can't have your toe half in the water. You've got to go with it.
I love Usain Bolt anyway, in the way he trains, because he makes me feel so inferior as an athlete. I wish I was as gifted.
I know what it's like not to make it as a sports star. I wake up every day and I'm not a footballer, and it really annoys me.
I don't believe we've met. What's your name?
Hello, I'm Dottie, and welcome to the latest episode of What to Watch on Netflix. Your only official Netflix podcast, which cherry picks all the good stuff and gently pushes them in your ear like a recommendation cotton bud. Side note, please don't put cotton buds in your ear, no matter how amazing it feels. Now, as you know, we've been recording this series in lockdown. Obviously, the whole world feels like it's a dumpster fire, but a few things have hit people particularly hard. Not being able to hug a grandparent, having to make lunch again, and forgetting what it's like to even wear shoes. But ask tens of millions of people what's at the top of their list and you'll get the same reply. Bring back the damn sport, for goodness sake. To some, sport is a bewildering pastime, expensive, tiring, and confusing. But to the majority, it's as vital to them as oxygen. Regardless of your stance, lockdown has revealed something rather curious. Whether we know our Anthony Joshua from our Anthony Bourdain or think Leighton Orient is a fabric softener, sports programming on Netflix has gone crazy. To help us examine why are some of the finest sporting minds around. To say Victoria Pendleton is pretty good at winning is like saying Keith Richards enjoys a shandy every now and then. Three Olympic medals, two of them gold, 9 world titles and an MBE. She then retired from cycling, swapped wheels for hooves, and smashed horse racing as well, which is just greedy, Victoria. Welcome.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thank you for joining us on What to Watch on Netflix.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, even though we've got your Maradonas, your Jordans, and your Hamiltons there, one of the best and most successful sports shows on Netflix at the moment is about a football team that aren't even in the Premier League. Sunderland Till I Die shows the flip side of glamour and success. Produced by Fullwell 73, who made the awesome Class of 92, it shows a team desperate to turn fortunes around, helped by some of the best fans in the world. Ben Turner is the man behind it and the man at the other end of the microphone. Hello, Ben.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us on this sports special of What to Watch on Netflix. Now, last but certainly not least, is a man no stranger to sports television, guiding the careers of Nigel Benn, Prince Nassim, Joe Calzaghe and Ricky Hatton, to name but a few. Frank Warren's eye for talent is almost as good as his eye for a tailored suit. Aside from doing deals with TV networks, his real skill has always been identifying athletes the public will latch onto and get behind. And believe me, your corner is always better with Frank in it. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Just hearing your voice in the context of this podcast is going to be absolutely brilliant. Thank you, all of you, for joining us on this sports special. Now, I'd love to know how you're all coping without sports. Frank, we'll start with you. How has it been?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm really struggling without it. You know, I'm a massive sports fan. I love my football. I love all sport, and obviously I like my boxing. And it's been dreadful that we've not been able to see any live sport. But we're starting a game on the 10th of July. It'll be our first show back, which will be on BT. So that'd be I think it's the first televised show since lockdown of any boxing. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a challenge behind closed doors, but that's what we're all about, boxing challenges.
Victoria, what about you? Have you sort of got really desperate and resorted to watching marble racing on YouTube?
I've actually been doing more sport myself, which is no bad thing.
And Ben, what about you? How has life without sport been?
I've been skipping a lot. I haven't had anything to watch. I've been trying to keep fit in like the confines of a relatively small space. I'm sure Frank will tell you what an athletic and tough guy sport part of boxing skipping is. And I like to think I look a little bit like a boxer when I'm doing that.
I mean, I know you mean skipping with a jump rope, but I like to picture it, Ben, just you skipping down
the street. Absolutely. Yeah, with like kind of, it's like a kind of New York street with me doing rhymes and stuff as I go. It's pretty awesome.
Just a dainty little gallop.
That's it.
Now, guys, let's talk about sports television, which is why I've brought together this motley crew today. I'd love to get your thoughts on this huge rise in sports documentaries over recent years. Ben, what do you think the catalyst was? What do you think was the moment that we thought, you know what, we're onto something here?
Well, it used to be pretty tough to get them away. When we made Class 92, the question we were always getting asked when we went to pitch it was why? Because watching live sport when you don't know the outcome is always going to be way more exciting than retelling that story. For us, we were quite into American sports docs where they just heap on the syrup and say how amazing everything is, which I love, because when we were making Class 92, people were like, oh, it'd be really interesting to tell the story of the people who didn't make it. I'm like, I know what it's like not to make it as a sports star. I wake up every day and I'm not a footballer, and it really annoys me. Like, I want to get into the glory of it.
You are massively aware of what you're representing in the history.
I looked at the players that I'd grown up with on the pitch at that time. This was more special than anything that I've been involved in through my whole life.
We were playing for the biggest club in the world.
With the badge that you wanted to wear, win.
But I think that there's something that happened in terms of like long-form storytelling that probably starts with those HBO scripted shows like The Sopranos, and people got used to watching long-form episodic TV, and it goes through podcasts and even like long-form journalism where people were telling stories in an episodic way. And at some point, I think, and largely down to Last Chance U and shows like that are on Netflix, with the way the streamers were broadcasting them, the penny sort of dropped that the sports are perfect for this, because every week all your characters come together and in a very clear way succeed or fail, or every few months or whatever, they're going to have a fight or a game or a race, and things are going to happen. You'll get a result.
Victoria, as somebody who is a sports personality herself, what do you think it is about this genre that we don't get anywhere else?
I think because a lot of people see a sports performance like, you as an athlete, you wake up and you've got like this skill that you can just deliver on any given day. But in reality, it's a roller coaster of highs and lows, mostly lows, with the occasional blip of success. And I think people sort of coming on that journey and understanding kind of what goes into creating that performance, and the fact that quite a lot of really successful sports performances and athletes have come through quite diabolical processes in order to get to that place, in order to become that individual, that resilient individual. And I think there's something very much synonymous with life in terms of kind of building you into that champion in some ways. And I don't know, I get sucked in totally. Last Chance U was great. I literally am in love with Michael Jordan anyway, for just being such an epic superstar. But that was so good to watch. Like, I really, really enjoyed The Last Dance. Like, I felt a lot of connection with it in lots of different ways. And I think even if you're not a sports person, there's ways to relate, to get closer to that athlete in some ways, which is kind of cool.
We absolutely need to dive into The Last Dance in a bit. But before we do, Frank, a big part of your career is knowing or having that sort of that instinct about boxers that we're going to love. What is it about sports TV that we love, do you think?
Well, I think the main thing is it's live. It's happening there in front of you, certainly as far, law sport, but certainly as far as boxing's concerned. And boxing's a unique sport. It's a one-on-one. And certainly at the top levels, it's the only sport I can think of where the loser can disappear. You know, if you're playing tennis or you're playing football, you can get beat one week and play the following week. You're playing golf and so forth. But boxing, because of the nature of the sport, your career can literally be over in a big fight. You can go from park lane to brick lane in one fight. And, you know, it's overcoming the adversity, you know, the struggle. It's human spirit in there. It's two guys, at its best, it's two guys in there playing chess with each other, with their minds, the art of self-defense. At its best, I don't think there's any sport like it. You know, I think of all the great events in my lifetime, you know, the Thriller in Manila, Rumble in the Jungle, all those big events and some of the big fights that happen in the UK, they have been just mega moments in sport.
Ben, I'd love to get your thoughts on that, actually, because Frank talks about sort of the essence of live sport and how that kind of has us on the edge of our seats and makes us fall in love with watching a sport unfold. How do you kind of translate that excitement into documentary when you're not watching something live? How do you make sure that our love of sport carries into watching something that's already happened?
Take a lousy team like Sunderland that no one knows about. And then they won't know what's happened, and they won't believe it either. No, I think that feeds into what I was saying before about the Class 92. You've got to find something else that resonates in that story to hook people in, because you can't recreate that for people. And I think that sport is also about the story. About that's how you invest in the sports stars that you love. As Victoria was saying, what they've gone through to get there, and what their journey is. And that's what these documentaries start to tap into. I mean, just using Sunderland as an example, but using football in general, people love it and they love watching it. But basically everyone loses. And even people who support teams like who win a lot spend half their time moaning about not winning enough. So, like, people aren't going there to watch the glory. They're going there to watch... get into the story. And if you can tap into that and show the way what the stars that you love go through and see the adversity they overcome, it's compelling viewing.
Are there any sports, Ben, you think that are more attuned then to being shown in documentary form? Obviously for you, it's sort of telling a great football story.
Yeah.
But I find that there's not as many boxing documentaries perhaps as there could be. Do you think the format lends itself to particular sports?
It's very interesting question. Boxing works really well in scripted. You know, there are loads of great films. And my favourite sports documentary is When We Were Kings, which is a boxing documentary. I mean, that is some film.
I've done something new for this fight. I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalised a brick. I'm so mean I make medicine sick.
Getting these documentaries together is very tricky. Getting all the rights together, just the practical side of it is quite tricky. And I don't know if maybe that feeds into why some sports are easier to get going than others. I mean, we have, actually in conversation with some boxers, and there's no reason in a filmmaking sense that it shouldn't work. I think sometimes boxers, Frank, you can tell me, this may be way off the mark, but I think sometimes boxers during their career have to portray a certain character. They can't show any doubt. They have to be tough. There's a lot of psychological games going on. And so to let a camera behind that whilst they're in the midst of their career, they might feel that's damaging. That is a guess from me about why they might be reluctant during their careers to do it.
There are some. Tyson Fury did a documentary on ITV recently, 4-part documentary, and it's quite well received. But you know, there are some guys who are quite natural outgoing. So, for example, Tyson or Muhammad Ali was exactly the same. But as far as boxing is concerned, I mean, it's, you know, people have got all their different views of how it works, and getting behind the scenes in boxing, which is quite a, you know, it's got a lot of mystique around it. You know, what is it like in the dressing room? How does the fighter prepare? You know, how does he interact with his family? So, you know, some guys just go into a camp, they leave their families for, you know, maybe 8-10 weeks. Others will stay at home, like Joe Calzaghe never left home. He stayed with his family all the time. Yet, once you get behind that, for a documentary, there's been some quite good ones, and obviously you mentioned it, Ben. My favourite documentary of all time is the same as yours. You know, When We Were Kings was just a magnificent film. It captured every moment. It captured the era. It captured the guys, African-Americans going back to Africa. You know, you had Mobutu putting up the money, who was a despot, a dictator, put this vast amount of money to get the event on. And when you actually get into it and you can actually see behind the scenes, you see like a Muhammad Ali, how he interacted with the press. It was just unbelievable. You know, the press couldn't get rid of him. He'd go to bed, next minute he'd come back down with him. And you're seeing a totally different side of the guy.
Victoria, we're talking about obviously being on the other side of the camera and what sports lend themselves to documentaries. What's it like actually being in front of the camera? Is it hard to get on with the job when there are cameras pointing at you?
I mean, at times it can be quite challenging, especially if you're trying to prepare to go up for an event, an Olympic final, and there's about a camera about 12 inches from your face and you're trying to just focus. It can be a lot, quite off-putting, but you kind of get used to it and learn to ignore it. And I used to have a bit of a death glare, which I'd give the guy. I'd be like, look, I think we've had enough, haven't we? But you do forget they're there. And it is quite strange how you can forget. And I actually, as an athlete, and you talk about having to create a persona, like to portray yourself in a certain way. I've been criticised massively for appearing too vulnerable and being too honest, giving my competitors an edge. And I was like, yeah, but I'm just being honest. I'm still going to try and win at the end of the day. And most of the time I will. But it's interesting that in sport you have to create this persona. And I think there are people who are afraid to sort of show any cracks and be like, yeah, actually, I am having a bad day. And this is, you know, this is not how I want to be seen by the outside world. It's a strange thing because I think people really enjoy seeing their vulnerability because a lot of athletes are seen like superhumans. They're like, oh, it's not like me. I couldn't do that. They're different from me. But I think when you kind of let them in, people are like, oh, hang on a minute. I can feel that too in some ways. And I think also with the boxing, it was just like occurring to me that why it would be so popular to watch it. I think we've all hurt ourselves in the past. I think some of us have probably been hit. Play fighting, even as a kid, you know it hurts. And I think people can relate to the fact that what is going on there is suffering, is like something that you can almost conceptualize. You know, when I watch boxing, I'm like, I can barely watch, but I'm completely drawn in because I'm like, wow, that's brutal. It's like gladiators. It's something kind of visceral and compelling. And I think that's probably why it just draws the crowds in and why it would make such great viewing.
Victoria, you touched on something there, which is actually really fascinating. And you mentioned sort of vulnerability and at times potentially giving your competitors an edge because they're getting that access. I'd love to get the thoughts of Ben and Frank on this. Is there a privacy issue when it comes to documentaries? Is there like a worry about, for example, keeping training techniques private and not showing too much?
I think from that aspect, I mean, you're not, you know, if Ben probably knows better than anybody when, and I must say, by the way, Sunderland Till I Die is like brilliant. Well done, mate. It's fantastic.
Thank you. It's very kind.
But, you know, how long will a documentary last? Was it 90 minutes? I don't know. Maximum 2 hours, if that. They're not going to film every aspect of the training. They're going to get to be allowed to be in there and so as far as the fighter's concerned, and share some of those moments. But I think it's like, you know, Victoria just said, you know, you're showing another side of the guys. I think if you're signing up to do a documentary, then you've signed up for it. You can't be selective what you're doing. If you're saying this is about me, I'm showing you what I go through, how I've achieved, and the journey I've been on, and so forth. Then you've got to go with it. You can't, you know, sort of have your toe half in the water. You've got to be in there. And I think that the public will respect you even more if you can show the other side. You know, there is a human side of it. You're not just two guys who are shouting at each other at a press conference and then going to have a fight. But there is something else. There is a family man there. There's somebody, you know, who's got their kids. They've got kids like you. They got to pay their bills. They've got to, you know, do all these things. And they go through, like all athletes, go through tremendous sacrifices to get to where they get to.
Ben, Frank said that, you know what you've signed up for. You've agreed to do a documentary and therefore you have granted access. What's your experience of that been with Sunderland? Do you ever get halfway through and people are regretting having signed up to do this?
Yeah, Sunderland had a torrid time and there were definitely moments where they felt conscious about having the cameras and would rather it not be portrayed.
Sunderland is a massive, massive footballing city.
We've been in the Premiership.
So penalty now to Sunderland. Chance to pull a goal back.
Unfortunately, it's just went wrong.
Another manager gone, another relegation. The problems run deep.
The original question was about tactics. I think that in a way, people are less, a mass audience is less interested in the tactical side of it. So I think your sports stars are less, very quickly are going to become less worried about that. And you enter into a relationship of trust with the people you're shooting, and I can only really speak for myself, but I feel like I'm privileged to be there with them at these big moments, partly because of who they are, but also just to be with a person when they're exposed and for them to trust you to tell their story. And you need to earn that trust and guard that trust. And that doesn't mean you pull any punches, for want of a better phrase, when you make it, because they have signed up for that. But they need to know they're going to get a fair hearing and have the ability to use their voice in it. And, you know, a lot of what the one thing, even we made a documentary with Usain Bolt. We went to the Olympics with him in Rio. And even him, who's so comfortable on camera, we still had to do that whole, we used to joke with him, don't give us Sky Sports, you know, because a lot of the sports stars, they have media training, and that media training is don't tell them anything, basically, because they're constantly trying to get caught out, and basically, you know, they say one thing and then it's all over the papers. What we allow them to do is to have a voice and to talk in real terms about what they're going through and who they are. And as I say, that requires a certain amount of trust that you're going to portray them accurately.
He is the biggest superstar that this sport has ever had.
He's dominated. He's won everything there is to win.
At his height, they said he shouldn't be running so fast. For where he's from, they're saying he shouldn't be who he is.
Don't know why I'm up this early. Life of a champion, right? Full box.
I've been lucky enough to work briefly with Victoria, and talking to her about some of her experiences was really, really fascinating and enlightening. And you're part of a big team. Sometimes you don't have the voice to talk about it at the time. And to come into a big team and people are fascinating, to give voice to these athletes who've had amazing experiences, have like had to look themselves in the eye on several occasions and dig deep and find ways. You know, it's a great privilege, and the things you want to say are deeper than giving away facts that they'd be worried about, if that makes sense. That's what you're hoping to get to, something deep and personal.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought up Iron Bolt, actually, another sensational sports documentary. What story, Ben, is sort of dying to be told in sports from your perspective as a filmmaker? Whose story have we yet to watch unfold in documentary form? Because I mean,
Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods. But I think that might be happening. There's a few that we have been like campaigning for. One of them was what has become The Last Dance, although ours was in terms of Chicago, because Obama was coming through at that time. There's a lot going on in Chicago at that time. And we actually got all the way. We got the NBA. We got everyone on board apart from Michael Jordan, who, and we got told that Spike Lee had been like shooting with him for years and he wouldn't take Spike Lee's calls. And we were like, okay, there's a point where it's not going to happen for us. And Tiger Woods is another one we've been after for a long time, and I think he's going to do something. It won't be quite what we're doing, because also you don't want to do it unless you can do it properly. But he is iconic.
Yeah,
he's been through a hell of a lot.
Victoria, is there a sports personality documentary or team that you would love to see a documentary for?
Oh, well, actually, talking about Tiger Woods, I mean, I'd love to know, because obviously he has been through massive popularity, and then, you know, he got a bit tarnished by some of his, and he's come up and down and it's been all over the place. I would love to know how he's kept himself mentally focused to come back and be so sort of dominant. And I just think, and the fact that he's only ever lived that life, like since he was a kid, I would be fascinated to hear it coming out of his mouth, like who he is, where he's been, how he got through it. Because I think, I mean, it's definitely not been easy for him. And I think that journey would be interesting. So that's what I would like to. I mean, I love Usain Bolt anyway, in the way he trains, because he makes me feel so inferior as an athlete. I wish I was as gifted. But it's everybody, like so many champions or super champions, people that have won time after time after time, have a backstory that made them who they are. And but they would all be fascinating to get up close if they were willing to let you in, as Ben said.
Frank, we are now campaigning for the Tiger Woods documentary, but is there a story that you think is screaming out to be told?
I like the Tiger Woods. I think that's a brilliant call by Ben and Victoria. I'm very biased. I think the real Tyson Fury story, you know, his journey. I mean, he's had some serious ups and downs, some problems that some were self-inflicted, some from other areas. But it's been a roller coaster. But it's been such a fantastic thing that he's done. And if this Anthony Joshua fight and him come together, which we've all been working hard to try and make happen, if that were to happen, Can you imagine filming the build-up to that from his aspect, or getting both the guys, doing both the guys? What a fantastic movie that would be for probably, you know, for me, one of the biggest sporting events in this country since the World Cup. It would be, you know, I just think that that's screaming to be made. You know, that's real, real, you know, the best. Four title fights, four belts, I mean, on the line for the first time ever.
Absolutely.
And two Brits. Don't get no better than that.
Oh, Ben, I can see
absolutely
the cogs turning.
I know. I think also he ties in such an interesting, like, when I was thinking with Tiger, like, the, like, golf is such a white sport, and what he represented when he came through is really interesting. Tyson's whole thing about, like, being, you know, his background is also really interesting, you know, to talk about. There's and that's what those sports talks allow you a kind of way into very complicated issues through a personal lens, that, you know, that, and that's partly what, I mean, that what elevates them, you know, makes them so compelling.
Well, let's watch this space for the Tiger Woods and the Tyson Fury stories. Let's talk now, though, about those sports programs that are already out there that we're absolutely loving. Victoria, I know that you wanted to talk about the Last Dance. Oh. You touched on it earlier. Mm. Let's dive in, because I think that's your recommendation, right?
Oh, it is. If you haven't, I'm sure everyone's already seen it because it's been talked about massively. It's one of those things like, have you seen that? But I, from the first instance of watching that, I felt a real kind of connection with the story being told. They were talking about somebody basically ending the career of some phenomenal athletes, and it was political, and I was like, no, we're talking about management and choices on teams when clearly they're the best in the world and people are undervalued. And I was like, hang on a minute, this is too close to home in some ways, even though it's a sport on the other side of the world. I just loved it, and I don't think I've ever felt like I knew who Michael Jordan was either. And you know, his discipline and the way he approached things, and just, I mean, it's poetry in motion, isn't it? Watching him play. I don't know. I felt very nostalgic as well, because I was born in 1980. So that period of the 90s was definitely huge in sport and something that I really connect with in terms of my sort of growing up and inspiration. But crazy good.
Incredible, oh, incredible film. Even if you've never watched basketball, yes, before, isn't it? Yeah. It's a sensation.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be a basketball fan to appreciate that at all. No way. It's addictive.
Ben, Frank.
Should I just watch one more? Should I go to bed? That's the kind of thing it is. It is.
Have you guys watched The Last Dance?
Yeah. I knew I wouldn't be able to do it without binging it. So I kind of waited and waited, and then, like, My son, he's totally fine, but he got COVID. So my world just got, like, turned upside down. We went back into quarantine as everyone else is coming out. So I'm in the process of binging it, like, right now. It's such a treat. I'm very jealous that I didn't get to make it, but I'm kind of happy. I'm happy for them, just.
You have to wonder why Michael Jordan, who is surely the most popular player in our time, would be, in effect, driven out of professional basketball.
We're entitled to defend what we have until we lose it.
The only question, how long can it last?
What are your thoughts so far? Because it is one of the, for me, one of the best sports documentaries I've ever watched.
He's just so iconic, isn't he? He just, like, I mean, all the other characters are also so amazing, but there are just very few sports stars. Not even sports stars. There are very few people who are that iconic as Michael Jordan is. So his story inevitably feels like it means so much more. And as Victoria said, it's a moment in time for all of us. He's a time capsule thing, Air Jordan and all that, from that moment in time. It's just, like, really, really, like, really amazing.
It was like, it's like watching a movie play out. Yeah. I think The Last Dance, and you've got Michael Jordan, your star of your show, but the supporting cast in, like, Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen as well. It is an incredible sports documentary.
And all that access, it's kind of like, it kind of unfolds as it goes along. They don't necessarily sell it. I mean, you know, when you start watching it, there's all this behind the scenes footage, but it kind of starts a bit more conventionally than that. And then you start to get into, like, I just, you know, you just can't believe you're seeing this stuff.
So Ben, what is your big recommendation when it comes to sports docs on Netflix?
Well, another one that I just like wish I'd have made. I mean, this is the cross I bear in this like world. When I see him, they kill me. I am like, as the other, another iconic sportsman who I grew up was just my utter hero, even though I should probably by rights shouldn't have loved him so much, as Maradona. I mean, he's a total hero to me as a kid. I remember watching him play football and thinking for the first time it was like watching someone in the playground play in real football. It was just amazing. And Maradona in Mexico is criminally underwatched. And again, he's just so iconic. He's so amazing to watch. I can and do spend time just watching highlights of him on YouTube anyway, because it just makes me happy. it's a pretty amazing doc. I'd highly recommend it.
Diego Armando Maradona es nuevo director técnico de Dorados de Sinaloa. Diego Armando Maradona,
para muchos el mejor de la historia,
viene a la tierra de Culiacán con los cártel, con la droga.
Agárrate porque esto se va a poner bueno.
Los esperamos el viernes para vivir una gran noche de fútbol con toda la familia.
And Frank, what is your big sports documentary recommendation for us?
Well, The Last Dance was, as everybody said, I'm in total agreement. And I actually binged a whole lot. I've sort of got that addictive personality. I start watching something and I normally go straight through. And sometimes I watch these things, these series and so forth, and I get to a stage where I don't take a break from it. And I actually think I'm in it. But for me, and I'm not saying because it's Ben, I love the Sunderland till I die. I really enjoyed that. We all talk about sport at the elite level. You know, that's what we do. We all like sport at its best. And you forget sometimes what else happens in sport. And the access that he got there, and also the story, which is so brilliant. Everybody was so down to earth. That's to me is what sport's about. You know, not everybody is a winner. Not everybody's a Muhammad Ali. Not everybody's a Victoria Pendleton. Not everybody's a Michael Jordan. There are the other guys who just don't make it. And it's great to see those. They're real people and see what their aspirations are, what they go for. And I think that Ben encapsulated all human spirit in there, every aspect of it. And I loved every moment of it.
Thank you, mate. That's very kind.
Guide us in our love for our city and our club, for it is a love born out of passion. Help us through our anger and our fury when our team is not performing as best it can. Help Sunderland, because the success of our team leads to the success and prosperity of our city.
I mean, we've got some great sports doc recommendations there, but I realise you guys do have lives outside of sport. So I'd love to know, is there anything else on Netflix that you're loving? Frank, do you love Ozark? Are you binging Drag Race, Ben? What else is there for you?
I watched Ozark from when it first came out a few years ago. I've watched that again. I've done that in about 2 days. I got through that. I thought it was outstanding.
How did I know you'd love that?
We had just kept our heads down, Wendy.
There's nothing we can do about that now. We're committed.
I love Ozark. I bought Tiger King. I liked it, but it was like a dislike as well. I thought, what an obnoxious bunch of people. They were just so vile how they treated animals and so forth. But it was compelling because you wanted to see where it was going and how it turned out. They were just an awful bunch of people. I don't think any of them came out of that too well. It was just an awful film. I obviously watched again Better Call Saul. I really enjoyed that.
You don't believe me?
Of course I do. Oh,
Jesus, it's right there on your face. You think I'm some kind of lowlife, some kind of ass?
What
kind of lawyer guilty people hire, right?
Jimmy, that's
you,
not...
look at me and you see Slippin' Jimmy.
I never said that.
Yeah, but you thought it.
What's the other one I watched? Fowler. I love Fowler. I watched the original series of that and the third one come up. I've just watched because there's been so much to do, so I've been going through them all. What else did I ask? I'm trying to think of the other one.
But Frank, you're a telly addict.
I enjoyed, which I didn't know where I was going to or not, and that was The Spy with Sacha Baron Cohen. From all the movies that he makes, and he's made this series, and I thought he really acted well in it. I quite enjoyed that. And yeah. I've been watching the German one, Das Boot, which is compelling. I think I like that as well. It's brilliant. But so what else has there been to do? Mind you, I'd do it anyway. I mean, I'm just a box set and film nut. I just love it. That's been the great thing about what's been going on in these terrible times that we're all living in.
Well, Frank's watched everything, Victoria. What are you watching outside of sports docs on Netflix?
Okay, so I just watched, I've watched some really random stuff, I'm not going to lie, and I do get drawn into watching a few teenage kind of, you know, like 13 Reasons Why, like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like sometimes it's like, it's a kind of escape from real life, isn't it? Yeah, so just watch, yeah, Girl from Ipanema, which is like a Portuguese little thing. I just love the styling of it, the beautiful fashion, and it's very retro, and then like bossa nova kind of tunes in the background, and I watch anything. I'm very open-minded when it comes to watching television. I don't have a particular genre. It depends what mood I'm in.
I mean, I'd love to watch you and Frank switching watch lists.
I'm watching all this like mindless girly stuff.
I just want to watch Frank glued to Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
In the town of Greendale, there lived a girl who was half witch, half mortal. And that girl is me.
You're a rebel, Spellman. That's how I like my witches.
We managed to see the grandkids after all this time, and I'm just Peppa Pigged out. That gave me a headache.
Ben, what about you, outside of sports documentaries?
If you looked at my Netflix, the thing that gets the most play is Hey Dougie. I don't know if anyone's seen that. That's what my kids are watching, and that's of those kid ones, the one that I find the most, the best. I don't know if anyone's seen Norseman. I think that's hilarious.
Absolutely.
That's really funny.
Well, it's time for the Attestube. Anyone want to go first?
It's a matter of honour, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the Attestube is probably the most honourable thing you can do.
Honour is really important, Bill.
Yes.
Yep.
To Valhalla! Wow.
I'm just going to skip the whole thing, okay?
I'm not
going
to jump either. This is not my kind of thing.
I thought that a lot of the shows that Frank spoke about, Fowler's incredible. A lot of the big ones speak for themselves. I thought 13th was amazing. It's quite a timely watch right now.
Yes,
I think that there's a moment where like we can look to see if we can understand things that weren't obvious to us before, and that is a brilliant perspective. And I also love animation, so I like Rick and Morty, BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
That kind of stuff makes me giggle too. Oh, you need a giggle right now as well, right? Because it's pretty full on. So like,
you really do.
But those would be my recommendations,
guys. You have given us so much. Thank you to each of you, Ben, Victoria, Frank, for joining me on What to Watch on Netflix.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darcy.
Well, we cannot bring you a sports episode of What to Watch on Netflix without getting on our MVP. So, from Netflix HQ, Ogina.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm also doing very well, and even better because I'm here.
Appreciate you. Now, I'm all sportsed out from today's episode, so I need from you some additional things to watch this weekend, please.
Of course. Okay, so the first thing I have for you today is a brand new action movie, okay? It's called The Old Guard. It stars Charlize Theron. But I need to give you the log line to this, okay? The log line to this is that it's a team of soldiers who seemingly can't die and have been fighting a bunch of battles for centuries, so they can still feel the pain. Ooh. But can't die. That is the premise.
Immortal soldiers.
Immortal soldiers, yes. That's the premise. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, if you're looking for something new to watch, that's just come on the service today. It's based on a comic book miniseries that came out in 2017. It's also directed by Gina Prince-Blythewood, who, if you're not familiar with her work, directed Love and Basketball, which is an iconic film. If you haven't seen that, you should also get and see, watch that too.
If you haven't seen Love and Basketball, who are you? What does your life represent? Where's the meaning?
I mean, truly, truly.
What do we watch after we've watched that?
After you've watched that, now, you might say this is a bit of a cop-out, but I want to make sure that everyone has seen it, okay? Because it's available elsewhere, but the ease of Netflix means I have to mention it. If you have not, and I cannot stress this enough, if you have not seen Derry Girls, season 2 of Dairy Girls is on the service now. You need to get up to speed. You need to watch it. If you haven't seen it because you're like, oh, I can't bother.
Sensational.
It is so good. It's about these 4 teenage girls, also a guy, in 90s Northern Ireland. And it's just so hilarious. It's just classic, great humour. 10 out of 10, watch it. Both series are now on Netflix.
And it does have one of the most nostalgic soundtracks ever. If you love that Britpop era, you will love this program. Sorry, I'm commandeering your space.
No. Please do so.
I am a Dairy Girl super fan.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. You have great taste in shows. I have one last show to recommend, but it's a documentary. And look, I know you said you were all sportsed out, but being that this is the sports episode, I wanted to recommend my favourite sports documentary. Okay. Have you seen The Mind of Aaron Hernandez?
I have seen The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
What did you think about our documentary?
It's a sports documentary meets true crime.
Yes.
So two areas we have covered on this series of What to Watch on Netflix. If you love crime and you love sport, this documentary is the intersection at which they meet.
Look, I'm not saying that I'm the biggest sports fan. I don't know much about sport, right? But I was drawn in. NFL, I wanted to know everything about it. It's very, very, very interesting. It's a great place to start if you're kind of, you like true crime, you kind of like sports stuff, you want to get more into kind of other documentaries and more kind of sport thing. Give that a try first if this is going to be your entry in.
And if you love athlete murderers a la OJ Simpson and Oscar Pistorius, this is next on your list, mate.
Right.
Who doesn't enjoy a documentary about an athlete that is also a murderer? Because for me, that is my niche.
I mean, that's the intersection where, right there in the middle, athlete and murderer.
That's where my interests meet, athlete and murderer. Do you know what I mean? Top of my sport, and I can kill on weekends. So I'm just, side note, I'm in no way an advocate for murder.
Please do not do that. Indeed.
We don't encourage or condone. But a great documentary.
That's what I've got for you. Thank you for receiving my gifts.
Thank you for bestowing them upon me. There we have it, another episode of What to Watch on Netflix in the can. But remember, we'll be back next week, and get ready for a load of belly laughs, as our theme is comedy. What to Watch on Netflix is hosted by me, Dotty, and is written and produced by Jamie Yeast. Editing and additional production comes from Cup and Nuzzle. What are you watching on Netflix? We'd love to know. Get in touch with us on Twitter @NetflixUK.